Today's scripture comes from the New Testament, and I will read it from a Bible that was dedicated at East Church to a former member, Willa Dunlap, by his wife, Shirley. And Shirley just passed away recently. They were truly pillars of East Church. And Reverend R.G. read from this Bible at her service this past week. So I thought it was fitting that we read today's passage from this Bible. Scripture comes from the New Testament, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Jesus blesses little children. May you listen for the grumpy grown-ups in this passage. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts find their way to the heart of God this morning. Amen. When I was a little child, I grew up in the First Baptist Church of Medford, which is the church that my grandmother raised her seven children in. And surrounding the church building are several houses that the church owns and rents out as low-income housing. And so for most of my life, my grandmother lived on church property in that low-income housing, in an apartment just a few steps away from the sanctuary. And although I was a kid who loved church and took my faith seriously from a very young age, I was not a good church kid in the traditional sense. By that, I mean that I was a precocious know-it-all who happily rolled around on the floor in the sanctuary during services, ran into the kitchen before coffee hour, and even started to see if there were any cookies before they were set out. I opened doors that I was not supposed to open. And sometimes I hid from my mother in the elevator when it was time to go home. And you can believe me, no one was handing me a microphone during the children's moments. I'm telling you this because from a very, very young age, there was no doubt in my mind that I belonged in that church, and that church belonged to me. I was comfortable in church. The church was as familiar and as welcoming as my Nana's house, and as unconditionally loving to me as my Nana herself. That unconditional love was evident from the grown-ups, who were not grumpy. Or maybe they were, but I didn't notice. The grown-ups in Sunday school and in coffee hour talked to me like I was a whole person with thoughts that mattered. And even though I behaved like kind of a wild animal, those grown-ups loved me. And thank God. Thank God for those grown-ups who convinced me that I was lovable, even when I acted not very lovable. And who convinced me that I was loved by God. They convinced me so thoroughly that later in my life, when I encountered Christians who told me that women couldn't preach, or that me and my friends were sinful, or that God loves some people more than others, that theology could not take hold. Thank God for those grown-ups. They let me, a loud little girl with unbrushed hair, come to Jesus and they did not stop me. Jesus says it is such as these wild, crying, fidgety, neurodivergent, hungry, chatty, messy, sticky, sniffly little children that the kingdom of God belongs. And whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell this story, although they all tell it a little bit differently. In Luke, people were bringing Jesus babies, not kids. And in Mark, which we read, has an interesting difference too. It says Jesus was indignant. People were leading their children to Jesus for a blessing, and the disciples were rebuking them. And when Jesus saw this, Jesus was indignant. Commentaries say that the other two Gospels prefer to present Jesus as a calm and serene leader, and so they leave out that Jesus was getting a little riled up. But in Mark's Gospel, we get a sneak peek of the Jesus who, in just a few verses, would be flipping tables of money changers who were exploiting the poor in the temple. There is nothing that makes Jesus angrier than religious people gatekeeping the kingdom of God. Because Jesus says the kingdom of God does not belong to the rich or the powerful. It belongs to the poor, to the meek. It belongs to the children. A lot of sermons on this commentary and commentary on these passages ask what it means to receive the kingdom of God like a child, and rightly so. I think we can learn a lot of lessons from children about being fun and kind and saying yes and being playful. But when I read this passage, the word that stuck out to me was belong. Because belonging is such an important word to our community. It's one of the guiding principles of the United Congregational Church. And so the question I want to ask is what it means truly for the kingdom of God to belong to the children, and what it looks like for us to act like it belongs to the children. In one of our first conversations about the consolidation, Beth and I talked about the values that guided us in planning our respective ministries. And we discovered on theme, I think, for the consolidation in general, that we had different traditions, yes, and different practices, ways of going about it, but we had the same hopes for our children. We wanted them to feel safe and loved in our church. And we wanted them to learn the stories of our faith, stories that affirm God's unconditional, extravagant, and radical welcome to all. All, including the little children, who are trans and mentally ill, and refugees, the little children who are living in places across the world where it's not safe to be a little child because of war or famine or climate collapse or violence. This week especially, I have felt the urgency of this mission like never before. I know some of you have too. Children are some of the most vulnerable people among us. And beloved, we are called by Christ to be in solidarity with the vulnerable among us. In this church building, solidarity with our kids might look like welcoming them with the basket of fidget toys. It might mean paying attention to the pronouns that our kids have on their name tags and putting them on your name tags too, because they notice. It might mean holding the hymnal at their eye level, pointing to the words so that they learn how to read a hymnal. It might mean introducing yourself with your name even if you know their names or you know their parents, because they meet so many grown-ups and we all look the same to them. It might mean volunteering to be an adult presence in Sunday school or at youth group. Even if you're uncomfortable entering a space centered around children, because children are in spaces centered around adults all the time. And finally, solidarity with kids means engaging the world in acts of service and justice. And not just telling them about it, but allowing them to participate meaningfully. In a few weeks, on February 9th, we will have our church engagement fair, and you'll see there are so many ways to live into this calling. We have work to do. We have work to do at Father Bill's and at the Pine Street Inn, with Reading Changes Lives, with welcoming our refugee neighbors, forming a green team, and so much more. And it can feel overwhelming. When I looked at the list of tables at the engagement fair, I was kind of like, whoa. That's a lot of things. Yes, there is so much work to do, but hear me when I say that we don't do this work alone. You don't need to do it all alone. We know at United Congregational Church that we are better together. In just these last few weeks, I've felt it every time I step into this building, whether it's for staff meeting with half a dozen people, maybe more, when I meet with Beth and finally have a co-partner in my ministry here, when I look around the room and see pews full of people who care, who show up, even though there's better things to do. There's nothing better to do on a Sunday morning, but but there are a lot of things pressing on our time, and you still show up. At a time when people are more and more disconnected, more and more divided, in this room, we are choosing to be together in a new way. And like Jarrell said last week, people are noticing. We are choosing to risk something big for something good. And we are not alone in the struggle for justice because we have each other. We have Larkin cheering us on in the back. Activist and midwife Rabina Khalid writes, "Kids don't feel safe because you shield them from the oppression and injustice of the world. They feel safe because you stand up against it. Kids learn by modeling. They learn to be welcoming when you welcome them. They learn to sing when you sing with them. They learn to pray when you pray with them. They learn to care when you care for them. They learn to serve others when you serve others with them. And they learn that this world is worth saving because you are working to save it. Our children are our future. We are building the world that they will inherit. And we are teaching them through our example who belongs in this church and who the kingdom of God belongs to. And I want you to know that if we do our jobs right, there is a distinct possibility that one day the kid who you least expect will be getting up in church, maybe even in the pulpit preaching, and telling a story about how generous and understanding this congregation was to them, and how you showed them what it meant to follow Jesus, and how they still remember your name, how you made them feel like the kingdom of God belonged to them. May it be so. Amen.